starting a new topic, the halacha of basar v'chalav. We have a famous brisa in the Masechta, which is the brisa penned by the yeshiva of Devei Rabbi Yishmael, and the concept which they are dealing with is a concept which the Gemara in the Masechta for about a blot or so dealt with beforehand as well. And that is what, in fact, is the source of the Issur Basar v'Chalav, and how many Isurim and Mitzvahs are, in fact, contained in this halachic prohibition. So the Gemara brings down the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel. It says, Lo yisavash agudi b'chalei v'imo, and it's mentioned Gimel Pamin, three times in the Torah. So what is the reason? So the Kabbalah that this Tana had was Echad l'Isar Achila. One pasuk is to tell us there's an Isar of Achilas Basar v'Chalav. Echad l'Isar Hana. One is to tell us the Basar v'Chalav is prohibited from any type of monetary benefit. V'Echad l'Isar Bishul. One is to tell us that even cooking Basar v'Chalav, if you do nothing else, be merely cooking, violating an Isar Deraisa of Lo Sav Asher Gadi b'Chalei V'Moy. And could obviously he had a Kabbalah from his Rabbeim, going back to Sinai. The three psukim were mentioned to therefore teach us these three sodas, these three concepts. Now, what is interesting, and I want to start off with this tonight, is that if you see a brisa like this, you will say to yourself, well, there are three isurim, an isur bishul, an isur achila, and the isur hanah. You would logically therefore think if there are three different psukim and three different isurim emanating from them, that in minyan ha-mitzvahs, there should be contained three different lavim, one dealing with the isur of cooking basar v'chalav, one dealing with the isur of eating it, and one dealing with the isur of having hanah from it. What is interesting, if you turn to the next page, and you look in the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam ultimately counts two, he does not count three. And what the Rambam is going to do for us very shortly when I read with you inside certain parts of the Rambam is explain to us his thesis why, if the Torah lists three psukim and three isurim, do you feel justified only to enumerate two as mitzvahs leisaseh and not actually three? And how, in fact, if the three isurim, how does he therefore categorize at least two of them? And we'll see seemingly in the same exact halacha, how does he understand that Isur, and what is his categorization? So if you look on the right-hand side of the page, in Mitzvah Kuf Pei Vav, this is in the section of the Lavim, of the 365 Lavim of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. So he says, Ashara, there's an Isur, Milavash of Basar v'Chalav, from cooking Basar v'Chalav, if you cook basar v'chalav, loka, you get a chiv malkus af a pishul achalo, even though you did not consume it. Commotion is bar bekabem mekemis betalmud. I'll be honest with you, this is one of the isurei hatera that, ironically, many people are not aware of. It's beferish in the pasuk lo savashli bechalei v'mo, but there's certain things that sometimes we do unknowingly, which might, in fact, be a violation of this Isur D'oraisa, even though we're not even contemplating to do an Isur. For instance, you have a neighbor who's a guy, and the neighbor had problems with their stove, and he wants to cook food, and you come in and help ignite the fire under the pot that he's cooking. Now, the irony is, if he's cooking a foodstuff where the ingredients are basar v'chalav, what you have done, besides being a good Samaritan, is you violated the Isur D'oraisa of Lo Savashal because you have caused the cooking to take place. Because bishul means causing the meat and the milk to be connected through a ma'isa bishul where you have a fire cooking these substances together. Now, your kavana was not to cook milk and meat. Your kavana was to help this guy light the fire and be able to cook his suta, your good neighbor. But the irony is that what you've ultimately accomplished over here, even though you have no kavanah to eat it or to use it, is you violate Isur D'oraisa of Lo Savashal. That's why when some youngsters asked some gedolim, whether or not they could in the summer get a summer job and working for Goyim when it comes to cooking, helping cook in the kitchens, nobody will ever see them. You're not talking about working in McDonald's, but working in a kitchen that cooks for many different people, you know, and you're talking about major production. So the Gedolim said to them, what do they manufacture in that kitchen? You know, if they're going to be cooking in that kitchen products that might have a combination of milk and meat contained inside, so what you're going to end up doing is violating the Issa D'Raisa the entire summer by igniting fires and cooking. I'm not saying you're going to eat it, Chas V'Shalom, but the fact of the matter is you're going to be violating the Issa of Asha. And when you pay the wages, you're also going to be violating the Issa of having Hana from Bazza B'Chalav. So, you know, what I'm pointing out to you, Rabbi Issa, is that, you know, sometimes these things can be violated without you even realizing the ramifications. No, we're going to see. There's a very, very specific definition. Since you're asking me now, I'll give you the interpretation of the definition. It says, "Lo savasha gadi bechalev imo." For those who are learning the Gemara Masechet Schulim, the Gemara says that gadi has a very special connotation. We're talking about the babies of behemos, that you can't cook the mother, can't cook the baby in the mother's milk. And gedi doesn't mean bedavka a kid. The Gemara says it means any type of young baby, which means anything that's a behema, which is shvarim, kvasim ve'izim, oxen, cows, when it comes to sheep and goats, male and female, any of them, which means their meat, together with milk that emanates from them, if you cook them together, you're violating the Issa D'Raisa L'Savash Gedi B'Chalev Imo. There's no difference whether you cook the cow in sheep's milk or the sheep in cow's milk or any mix and match you so desire. The ikur is cooking behema meat in behema milk. That's what the Issa D'Raisa is, and that's where it starts and that's where it ends. Our application, we'll see later on, when applying it to chayos and to oifis, is a derabanan, which the Gemara discusses at length, and we'll discuss it in this year. But to ask them with the derisas, that's basically the derisa, combining milk and meat through a fire. And once you combine them through a fire, not only have you violated Bishol, but then the Isser Achila and the Isser not come into existence. Without combining milk and meat through a fire, and just eating them separately, even though, quite obviously, you know, you're going to ultimately consume milk and meat, the Isser Derisa doesn't apply. So on a derisa level, you can have a delicious, delectable Chalav Yisrael malted with a geshmaka sandwich, meat sandwich, and eat them together. And on a deraisa level, nothing's being violated. It's only if they're cooked together that the whole Issa comes into existence.
Has anybody been picky enough to specify that this particular gedi with its mother over?
No, no. Well, the Gemara had a havamina of that. The Gemara had a havamina, Shemara rejected, but there was a havamina in the Gemara because of the phraseology of the Torah, but the Gemara finally unquestionably rejects it. But there was a svara. Yes, but the question, there was such a svara. So what I want to show you now is Mitzvah Kuf Pei Zayim, where the Rambam now gives the second law. Hashara Shoshana Melechel Bas B'Chalav. This is the Isser of eating Bas B'Chalav. Now, the Rambam says explicitly that the second time around when the Torah mentions the Pasik, Shni Akavana Bo Isser Achila. And he brings down that the Gemara says, "Beferish Masech L'Schulin, Basa B'Chalav Loke, Al Bishulo Loke Achilasa." The Gemara says explicitly, "Loke on his Bishul, and Yoloke on its Achila." Now, I want you to skip for a couple lines to get to the nitty gritty of what I want to discuss this evening, and that is if you go down into the text of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and we get to quotation C, where it says, "Ube Gemara Chulin Amru." The obvious funny question is there three different lavim in the Torah? Each one refers to a different Issa. So you would think the Issa of Bis is like Savashal. You would think the Issa of Achila is like Seichel, and the Issa of Hana is some type of Issa Hana should be mentioned or indicating an Issa Hana. But all of the Issurim are framed under like Savashal, and only the Torah Shalapep tells you this is Bishul, this is Achila, this is Hana. So the Rambam deals with this, and the Rambam is going to build an entire binyan based upon the Shini Halashon, where the Torah Shabbat says one thing, and the Torah Shabbat says something else. Listen to what he says. This is a very important Rambam. Why did the Torah single out achila in the phraseology of cooking? Ki hechid abishul loki, the same way on bishul, on combining the milk and meat, you're violating the isa derais, the chiv malchus. Achila nami loki, you're also chayiv as well on the consumption of these combined products. He then brings down the Gemara in Pesachim, Armol Abbas Bechalov, Lahikosav Bey, Rachmana Bachila Bagufo, Lememra, Shalokin Alov Afilu Shalok Derech Hanasa Uzachar Zois. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says something very deep. Anytime the Torah phrases Machalas Asuros, with the Ishzo Lo Sochal, Lo Yachel, the Gemara has a major clout. And that is, the Torah is asring this substance if you eat it with normal types of achilas, bederech achilasa. If you eat something that's machalas achsuras in an abnormal fashion, it's called b'loshen chazal, shelo bederech achilasa, and that can be accomplished in many different ways. You heat up the food to such a level that when you finally eat it, it burns your esophagus as it's going down. It's not a pleasurable experience. Or you mix in various types of flavorings into the food that it becomes so bitter and so inedible that when you eat the food, you can't stand the experience of the eating. It becomes very loathsome to you. Any type of achila that's an abnormal achila when it comes to machalas asuros normally takes away the isa deraisa from that specific substance. Therefore, you eat putrefied nevela, enaru leger, you're not violating the isa deraisa. You eat chametz that has become nifsom achilas kelev, the achila has hana, then halach lamas, you're not violating the isa deraisa of chametz. And you go down every isa min haTorah. One of the exceptions to the rule, not the only, but one of the exceptions is bas v'chalav. That since the Torah wanted to tell us that on bas v'chalav, not only are you chayiv when you eat it b'derach achilasai, but even if you eat it shaloi b'derach achilasai, you're also violating Issa Deraisa, even though it's a non-pleasurable experience. How did the Torah accomplish to teach us this fact? That when it comes to Achila, instead of mentioning Lo Sochal, it mentions Lo Savash Gadi Bechalevimo, and Chazal tells us to Torah Shabbat Peh, Kabbalah Misinai, this pasuk is referring to the Issa of Achila. Since the Torah never formulated the Issa Achila with the Lashon of Achila, Lo Savash means the criteria of eating something b'derech achilah so is not applied to bas v'chalav, and that's what the Gemara in Pesachim tells us, and the Rambam is alluding to. He says, Havein Zos means, remember this principle, because I'm going to mention a number of times in the Sefer Mitzvot, when other mitzvahs of a similar nature come about. Let's go further into the Rambam. The Rambam then says something also quite interesting. V'chan roi li lahar akla gadol, I also want to teach you a major principle. Shadayin lo hiskartefu, which means I've not mentioned it up until this point in time in my chibur, and that is, it says in the Torah, lo savash gadi bechalev imo, nichba batera shlosh pamim, v'omru matik yashmu, which is a very unusual name for the Balei Chazal of the Gemara, he's one of the few people that use this expression, shekolav mehem yesh lo inyan nifrat. He's now paraphrasing the Gemara. We just learned the Masechta Schulin. Each one of the psukim have a different lav. Chala isa achila, v'chala isa hana, v'chala isa bishol. So now the Rambam asks the major question I started off the entire shiur with tonight. V'ef shalamak shalahakshas alaloymer, lama manisa isa achila, v'isa bishol shtei mitzvahs, v'la manisa isa hana mitzvah shlishes. The obvious question is, if all three are isa deraisa, why am I safe for ha-mitzvahs? On the lavim, I mention bishul and achila, and I don't mention a separate mitzvah leisa. Say when it comes to isa hanot deraisa bas v'chalav, that is as much an isa deraisa as achila and bishul is. It's the obvious million-dollar question: why did I do what I did over here? So yeda hamaksha, the Rambam says, I'm going to teach you now a major principle when it comes to my mahalach in the sefer hamitzvahs. And this is a guiding principle the Rambam uses throughout the Sefer in other mitzvahs which have a similar problem. And that is, she'isa hana ein roi lemnosa mitzvah fenei atzmo. That when you have an isa achil and isa hana, it is inappropriate, if you have a lav that has both components, to list the isa lav of hana as a separate entity, independent as a lav besides the achila. Why? Lefi shu the isa achila inyan echad. The isa hana and the isa achila are really one and the same. Why? Kevin shachila min mini hana. Because eating it is a form of having pleasure from it. When you are asring the achila, what you're really saying is you can't have any hana and pleasure from it because achila is one of the hanats. Therefore, subsumed under the isa achila is achila and hana. You have both of them under the same exact heading. Ulafisha arma yisala be'ezidava shalai ochal. Eina ela dugma dugmas hana. Which means when the Torah asks that achila, the Torah is giving you an example of one of the isurim of pleasure that you can't have from it. V'hakavana, sheinenen bo l'achila lo buzulaso. So the question is, how do you know that? Where do you derive that from? How do you know the Isra lo sachal no Torah by lavim means achila and hana? Maybe only zachila. If anything, you know, how do you bring me a proof? Whether it's a biblical proof or a Tanaic proof, or a Midrashic proof, how do I know this? So he brings the Gemara in Pesachim, and also the Gemara has this price that repeated over and over again in many places. Listen to the Lashon of Chazal. Kamakim shenema loisochel loisochlu. Whenever the Torah phrases machalas asuras with the phraseology don't eat, or don't eat b'loshen rab, don't eat b'loshen yachid, what is the meaning based upon Kabbalah of Torah Shmapeh? Echad isa achila, the echad isa hana. What you have alluded to over here is both an isa of eating and the isa of having pleasure. And the Gemara continues, which the Ram is quoting, ad shiafarit lahakosef gederach sheperit minavela. The only time I will know that achila doesn't mean both is if the Torah then excludes and tells you that in this case achila applies. And hana doesn't apply. Now, where do you have this principle demonstrated in the Torah? So the Ram doesn't beat around the bush. He goes straight. He brings the Gemara, Shinis Boer, Hetanov, who Amro, La Ger Asher Bisharechet at Menovachala, O Machru Lo Nachri. When it came to the Isra, like Sochel Nevela, so initially, according to the principle of the Gemara, Echet Isra Achila, Echet Isra Hana B'mashma. Now, why, in fact, in implementation, don't we do this? Because the Torah, in the self-same passage, that says afterwards, very simply, but guess what? When it comes to the veil, I'm giving you a heta. And the heta is not a chila, because chila is asa. But there's a heta hanoa. You can sell it to this guy, you can sell it to that guy, which means that what he's proving from this Medrash Chazal, that without the exclusionary rule of having the heta to sell it to a guy, achila would have connoted achila plus hana. By the fact that the Torah, the Gzeir Sakasiv, said after Lo Sochal, but you can give it to this person, to that person, what it's telling you is that this is the exception to the rule, that even though achila normally means both, in this case, achila will apply, hana does not apply. Yes? No, but this is the way we paskin. This is the way we paskin. And that's why the Rambam is quoting this in understanding, quote, obviously, the Havana Sasugya. Let's go back inside. He therefore says, "Ulefi haklal hazeh, ein roi limnos iser achilu isanosh de mitzvos." I therefore have no right to list in my sefer mitzvos the achila hana abas bechalav as two separate lavim. Ve'ilu meninu al some shtei mitzvos. And if in fact I would violate this, and it comes to bas bechalav, I would list the iser achila hana as in fact two separate entities. If I would do that, what would be the result? I would have to do the same thing because there's Isa Achila. So I would have to have this Isa Hana. So by Chametz B'Pesach, I would have to have both listed as two separate lavim, and the Rabban didn't do that. The same thing when it comes to Erla, where there's an Isa Achila and Hana, he would have to list it as two separate lavim, and the same thing applies to Kloy Keren. Since it's over there, I would have to list them as two separate lavim, and the Rabbim doesn't.
What's the difference between
making lavim
and one lavim?
What? No, the nafka means how many malkis you have. If you have a separate lavim yuchedes, you would have a separate chiv malkis for it. In other words, if you basically took basa b'chalav and you cooked it, and you ate and had hanah from it, okay, b'hasur achas, since they're two separate lavim, for Bishol and for achila, you have two chiv malkias. Since the hanah is nichlal in the chila, at the end of the day, behelam echad, you're going to have basically two malkias. If, however, each one had a separate lav, he didn't in one helam echad, what's going to be the halacha? You'll have the nechiv Rabbi Yisai of three malkias. So that's enough. Once then enough. The isurim, true, the three different isurim. But when it comes to administering, we know when it comes to one specific asra, how many chiyuvim can you mechay b'basachas at the same time frame? So that depends upon whether it's a lav miyuchedes or it's a lav kaleles, two isurim under one heading. Go back inside.
The person has to give
the asra
for both.
Yeah, ain't a chanan. Yeah, but the fact at the end of the day, when it comes to the amount of malchus you're allowed to administer, since achila hanoa one, you only can give him one klap for that. Now, the Rambam continues. He then says, because if that's the case, b'chol echem elu arba mitzvahs, isa hanov v'natzmo, v'cheven shenofel b'elu v'lonimla el ahalav shabab isa achila b'vad, u'b'chlal ze isa hanov b'bnei ikisha marnu, since in all the other mitzvahs you just mentioned, he only mentioned the isa achila and did not include the isa hanov as a separate mitzvah, that's what he did religiously in all the other cases, kach nofel kamba b'sukhalav, I did the same thing came to b'sukhalav. So if that's the case, the Rambam explains his methodology. So we have so far in the Rambam two major chidushim so far. And that is the Lashon Bishul's mention rather than Achila teach us, Yechayiv Shaloi B'derech Achila. And the second base of chidush is when you have two lavim, or two isurim, the one's an Isa Achila and one's an Isa Hanah, the halach is technically speaking that the Rambam is only mona the Achila one, he's not mona Hanah, the Hanah is nichol under it. And that's throughout Kol HaTerah Kula. We're now going to come to the third chiddush of this Rambam. Listen to this. I want you to know it's unusual. The Rambam, the Sefer Mitzvahs, usually is not marach like this in each and every mitzvah. So this is unique over here. That's why I want to spend time to see it in the Sefer Mitzvahs. He then says, the nishra kan shel achas bavad v'hi ef shalom la'om la'omer. The person who wants to ask can ask. Kevin sh'isa hanoa muvan isa achila. That since the Isa Hanah is understood from the Isa Achila, as he just said before, Kemosh Bi'anu, as Chazal said in the Gemara in Pesachim, Im Kain, Lama Hutrich HaKasov L'Lav Shlishi B'Bas B'Cholav, Kilesa Hanasa, Kemosh Bi'anu. This is very similar to one of the questions that was posed by Rabbi Schreiber, but you're going to see now another Teretz. If basically Achila and Hanah are one and the same, so why in fact do you have to have it so explicated by Chazal in the special pasuk to teach us that? Hatshuva l'zeh, shehutzrich l'kach, kevin shlo nema b'basa b'chalav lashin lo yisochal. Since the Torah never mentioned that word whatsoever in the formulation of the lav, shemimenu te'osar achila v'hanar, because when the Torah mentions lo yisochal, we just learned before, the major principle is that automatically is kolel, the isar achila and the isar hanar. So if basa b'chalav would have written lo yisochal, there would have been no need to have a third pasuk because lo yisochal would have taught us both. But the problem is, by Bas B'cholav, even the Achila is not phrased by Lashon Loi Sochal, it's phrased with the Lashon of Loi Savashal. For that reason, Lafika Chutzrich Lichpo Lav Echel Isa. Now, you therefore had to have a third pasuk to Miram is the Isa Hanah. And if that's the case, this is another teretz to your question of Schreiber. And that is that since, technically speaking, the normal Makaras of Isa Achila we have the Cholat Torikula, where Achila is the phraseology, teaches us both. Since by Bas B'chol, Rabbanu Shlom, for the divine reasons I mentioned before, did not want to mention a Lashon of Achila, wanted to mention a Lashon Bishul to teach us that the Achila Hanah are also only a result of being created through Bishul, and the Isa Achila Hanah without Bishul is not Isa Deraisa, it might be Isa Derabanan, but in Isa Deraisa it isn't. So if that's the case, that's the reason why, according to the Rambam, the Torah had to have a third pasuk to show you Hanah likewise is prohibited because Achila does not mention itself explicitly in the pasuk, and therefore the Hanah cannot be derived from it, like you have B'chol HaTorah Kula. U'kvar hiskanu hatam, and the reason I mentioned this before, Shebeglo lo kasar chomav Achila b'bas b'chalav, lefiko shema sheniska bo Achila ein achayev ash yehenem Achila. So this is another thing he mentioned before, that if it mentioned Achila, I would think I'm only chayev if you eat it the normal way. Alvin pasak pivu balo achmi asurim. If I open somebody's mouth and I literally pushed it down without any pleasure, osh achle kushucham, or ate it burning hot to sarif yichve gerono, and I burnt my esophagus, umachivo, I have tremendous pain, b'shas b'liyok yitzibizeh, hareze pater, That's by achilas that has to be chay b'derech achilasai. Zulasi bas mecholov shuchay achila filo shalonena. Kamoshis kira. I'm going to. Rabbi says I'm also going to mention the same cloud when it comes to kloy kerem. The kloy kerem also the achila is not mentioned to tell you I'm chayv and kloy kerem even if I eat it shaloi b'derech hana kamoshin avar lekaman. Having kolaklam elu v'zacharosam kavenas badim sazu b'peraches b'chulin. So the Rambam is telling you this is the yesodis dika sefer mitzvos over here. He's basically telling us major klolim and telling us why the Rabbeinu Shalom in the Torah phrased it the way he did. What is interesting that he does not mention, but I alluded to before, that the reason the Torah had to mention lo savasha besides the reason he just gave the yichai shalom b'derech hilaso is to teach you that the achila and hana also only become a deraisa if they're connected to a Maisa Bishul. This is a reason he doesn't mention, but the Gemara mentions it in Masechta Schulim. So you have a pretty good picture now when it comes to the Deraisa, exactly what is Aser. All three Isurim are Aser, but the amount of Pesukim we need to do this to generate these three are three, and the reason that our phrase, the phraseology he did is to teach us certain other Klalim that we derive from that phraseology. If you go back to now page number one, I want to show you something quite interesting. Once the Torah phrases the prohibition b'loshem bishul, there's now a secondary phenomenon that has a major significance for what is called bas b'chalav deraisa and what's bas b'chalav derabban. Listen to this. Bishul has a very unique technical definition. If you look on quotation B on page one, do you have a set of Ma'amar Kamos? Please, somebody give him a set so he can be able to look in. You join us at this table, goes into height, come. You can sit at the table if you want to. Okay. The on quotation 1b, the lashon of the Tur Shulchan Aruch is the lachain kasva hatara lachila balasha bisho lomar shina asa minatara ela derech bisho. Now, I have in quotation C, what is bisho? So I quote the Rambam Machalos Asuros, Zel Lashono. The classical bishul of the Torah is, I have something cooking in a pot, in a liquid, and there's a fire underneath cooking it. That's the classical bishul, a bishul that's mentioned. The Torah, all types of bishulim normally are formulated that way. Now, why am I quoting the Rambam over here? Because now we come to the big question. We know for a fact in our world of fancy cuisine, there are all different types of cooking. There's roasting, there's frying, there's a whole bunch of other categories of combining food through fire besides the normal bishul mechanism. Are they included in the Lashon bishul or are they excluded because of the difference that they have from the normal bishul of a food soaking in liquid in a pot with a fire underneath? Does the Tzuvas HaBishul make a halachic difference? So if you notice, I have in quotation D, over here, I have two categories. I have Tzliya roasting and Tigun on one side of the line, and then I have Ma'ushan, which is basically smoking, Meliach, which is salting. In this case, Meliach Roseach means I put tremendous amount of salt, and that causes a chemical reaction of release of heat. This is what we learned a couple of days ago. Einu necha machas malcha, that you put so much salt, you therefore can't eat it because of how bitter it tastes. There's a tremendous chemical reactions taking place. We also have a principle of kavish kemavushal, pickling, and also chamit teveria, cooking something in the hot springs of teveria. What the Rishonim say immediately is that in other areas of Torah, where those items 3, 4, 5, 6, might have some halachic din when it comes to bishul. When it comes to basa b'chalav, there's no question that if you would perform smoking of the milk and meat together, or salting, or pickling, or using chamit teveria, you could never create basa b'chalav deraisa by this type of combination. The most you could create with this type of combination is basa b'chalav that is asa midirabanan. So that's a major klal gadol. When it comes, however, to the right-hand side of the line, and that is when it comes to tzli, when it comes to roasting, and when it comes to tigun, most poskim rishonim hold that bishul and tzli over here are in fact interchangeable, and that if that's the case, you can create bas b'chalav through tzli deraisa the same way you can do that when it comes to cooking it in a pot with liquid. There are some Rishonim who hold that tigun, frying, because it's also, you put some type of liquid to coat the pot and you fry, it's very similar to Bishul. So they want to say, since it's the Arma Halach Tachtov, tigun should therefore be similar, and therefore you can create through tigun also the concepts of Basa B'chol of Diraisa. Some say that. But for intellectual honesty, you should realize that not everybody says this. The Pri Chadash, who held that Tzli and Tigun are Deraisa, there is another Gadol whose name is the Minchas Yaakov, who claimed that in his mind, Tzliya and surely Tigun, he claims, are not considered Bishul Manatera when it comes to Bas V'Chalav, because it's dissimilar from the description given by the Torah B'Shem HaRambam. And what's interesting, Halach Lamasa, is that there is a major Nafkamina Halach Lamasa, and that is in the following case. Listen to me very carefully. Bas V'Chalav Deraisa is Asa B'Bishul, Asa B'Chil B'Hana. When you have a creation of Bas V'Chalav, it's Asa M'Derabanan. So over here, the consensus of Rav HaPoskim follows the Rambam. Bas v'chalav derabanan is asa b'achila, but it is muta b'hana. When it comes to cooking bas v'chalav derabanan, many poskim say it's an isa maras ayim derabanan. It's more of an extrinsic problem than an intrinsic problem, but nevertheless, it's asa nevertheless. So it comes along the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim says the following. So let's say, for instance, a person is a wholesaler, and you have goods being brought in continuously from producing factories into your specific warehouse. And could obviously you then give it out to the people that you supply. And anybody who's in the food business realizes that when you have deliveries taking place in gigantic warehouses, a massive amount of foods are going in and going out, mistakes could be made. So what about the following case scenario? A major truck comes in, a tractor trailer, and all of a sudden when they go down to see what it delivered, and the non-Jews who basically unloaded it and didn't check, just put it into the warehouse, and the big tractor trailer is halfway back to where it is, and all of a sudden they realize we got a little problem over here. The food that was delivered to our warehouse is not exactly what we wanted, because this is the type of stuff in which we have meat and milk that were combined, but the meat and milk combination, what was delivered to us, was, thank God, not cooked, but it was fried. So what do we do with this? Now, if Tegan was an Isa Deraisa, like Bishol, you know what I got to do with it? I'm stuck, I got to get rid of it, unless the guy's willing to take it back. You know, if he's willing to take it back, fine, but if he's not willing to take it back, then you basically have to get rid of it. Even burning's not sufficient. You have to be kaver it to make sure nobody will ever have any hanor from it. So comes along the Prima Gadim, and Prima Gadim says that if the situation was one of tigun of frying, and it's a question of hefse meruba and a shasa dechak, I can rely upon the minchas Yaakov over here, minchas Yitzchak, and therefore say it's bas b'chalav only midirabanan, and sell it, and therefore get my financial money back for it. I can eat it. I couldn't have created it, but it's muta b'hana. So therefore, this machlekes has major ramifications. Halach l'masa in the b'devisishin hefse meruba. If Tegan was 100% din of Bishul, according to all Shittus HaPaiskim, you'd be stuck. Thank God it's a machlekes Paiskim, and therefore the Prima Gadim is tailored that there are enough who hold that Tegan is merely the Rabbana rather than the derais when it comes to the consensus of Rishonim to be tailored on that specific Shittu Lakula. But that's one technical halach l'masa nafkimini you could have in a practical application that happens, you'd be surprised how often in the food industry. Yes? So the reason is because normally when you say, well, if you look in the Torah itself, what's interesting is, where is cooking mentioned in the Torah? You tell me.
Kabanos.
What? Kabanos. Now how did they cook? Did they fry kabanos or did they cook kabanos? That's Bishul. That's the Bishul in the Torah. And in fact, honestly speaking, by Karban Pesach, I would have thought that that's the same exact thing. But the Torah says, no, over here you can't be Bashal Mavushal. Here, like other Karbanas, here it has to be B'tzliyesh, which means the Torah tells us the Karban Pesach is the exception to the rule. But in the Tzuras HaBishal, you look in the Torah is the paradigm example of what Bishal means. And Bishul in the Lashon of the Torah, when it comes to the case scenarios that are mentioned explicitly in the Torah, Bishul normally means cooking with a liquid in a pot with a fire underneath. That's what Bishul is. That's the tzuvah. What? What? So that's exactly what Bishul is. The question. Or Mahalech Takta. Yeah. No, so that's what I'm pointing out to you, that over here, that is, you want to arrangishtup this in the Ram, but the Ram was telling you something else. What the Ram is trying to preclude over here is quite obviously the concept of cooking by using a heat medium that's not a fire, which means he's trying to preclude like Chamitaveri or other types of heat sources which are not generated by a flame of a fire itself. That's what he's trying to preclude. You can't make the dig from the Rambam. The way what you basically do, Shami, going back to your question, is you look how the Gedolei HaRishonim and Poskim deal with it. And when you look at the consensus of the Poskim, I admit to you, there's a machlekes with the Tikkun itself is a deraisa derabbanan, and there are those who hold. I quoted the Prichadish who claimed it is a deraisa. But Minchas Yaakov and others hold it's not. And what's interesting is, in a Shasa Dechak, if the Minchas Yaakov was the Miyit Shebe Miyit, and most held it's a deraisa, that would have been a suffered deraisa lechumra, and halach lamasa, he would not have paskin the kula. By the fact that Prima Gadim is allowing you to rely upon the Minchas Yaakov to treat Tigun as a derabbanan, and to be mata the Isa, it shows you that he looks upon that as a major shita saposkin, the tikkun is not the deraisa format, to allow you to rely upon that, b'shasa dechak, for the purposes of salvaging this person's money. If he was convinced, the prima gadim, the rov haposkim held, like the pri chadash, he could not have given you such a leniency. But any event.
This is a subject deraisa with the sake of the deen over here.
Yeah, basically speaking, yeah. But that's what you basically end up with over here. So subject deraisa what the pshat is, and the subject the deen, but it seems in counting the heads of who holds what, he came to the conclusion of Prima Gadim that there are enough Gedolim who held that it's only their Rabbanim to rely upon the B'shas HaDechak and therefore to be Mekel. That's basically what he passed in Halach Lamasa. Now, what I want to go further, Rabbi Yisai, is now not only is the Kula of the Rabbanim formulated by how you combine them, but now we come back to the second part of the topic, and that is what type of milk and meat to use, what type of creatures. So that's why in the Shulchan Aruch says, in Simen Pei Zayin, very, very explicitly, that only if you cook milk and meat of behemoths, halach lamasa, that's the violation of the deraisa. Anything that involves cooking a chaya and an oaf, we're dealing with the meat or the milk, whatever permutation you have, automatically reduces it down to the Rabbanan. Once it's reduced down to the Rabbanan, you then come to the concept, it's asa b'achila, mutu b'hanah, and the Isa Bishul is merely the Rabbanan because of Marasayim. That's basically, so in all these Hechotimses, going back to the Shaila I mentioned before, Rabbi Isai, and that is you go into a McDonald's and you start cooking the milk and meat over there. The fact of the matter is, at the end of the day, even if they don't use behemoth meat, most probably they don't, even they use chai meat or some other behemoth tamea, horse meat, whatever it might be, the Isa would still be an Isa bas b'chalav asa med rabban, which means there'd be an asa Isa rachila. There would be a heta hanah, but there'd be Isa maras ayin for you to cook it. When it comes to being the cook to cook this and put the flame on, so you wouldn't be violating the deraisa, you'd be violating the rabbanon.
It's all cow meat anyway.
What? You think so? don't put bets on it. In those restaurants, you'd be surprised what type of animals they use when it comes to creating these foods, especially hamburgers and franks. You don't want to know the chazarai they put into that. Now, let's continue, Rabbi Isai. The next thing I want to mention to you, which that's very important, and that is when it comes to bas v'chalav, how much is the shear of how much you have to cook to violate the deraisa? So the Gemara has two shitas. One shita is you need a gezayis of milk and a gezayis of basa. The other shita is no, the gezayis that's joined together is sufficient. And we pass in the second shita, a joint gezayis is sufficient. The next thing I want to mention, and this is based upon Gzeres HaKasiv, that hakomid, when it comes to basa b'chalav, we have the principle, quotation E, of chaticha nasa nevela. That this basa b'chalav, when it comes to other types of machalas asuris, is a big debate. With a chaticha nasa nevela, tamkika deraisa kedema. For those who are learning Masechta Chulin, you know exactly what I mean. But when it comes to basar b'chalav hakol meidim, that over here, which means therefore, if you have milk that falls into a piece of meat that's floating on top of all the other piece of meat in the pot, and it's above the water level, I'll use one sheet as a paiskim, and when the milk falls into that piece of meat, there's not shishim keneged the milk, so therefore there's no batel b'shishim, and there's a nesina satam. So what happens is, that whole chaticha now, since it was not mevatel tam of the chalav, now becomes one big cheftza of iser of machalas asuris, the basar b'chalav. It becomes like one big piece of nevela. And therefore, the question now is, does this piece of meat now, which the bottom side is touching the meats below, does it cause any iser in that pot? If there's going to be a transfer of flavors into the pot from that piece of meat above, you would now need shishim in the pot, including all the materials, the liquids, the solids, the everything else, to be 60 times the piece of that meat that became an avela, that the iser basar b'chalav should not impact upon everything else contained in the pot itself. So that's the concept of chaticha nas and nevela. That applies to basar b'chalav. But other yisurim, the big questions about it, this is a deraisa, and this is halach lamasa, very, very important. Now, if you notice on the bottom of the page, I have quotation F of the Ran, which is very important, because this is going to be the hagdama to the Rabbanans, the chlal of this topic, we'll be discussing be'in for the next week or so. And that is, basar b'chalav, if you look at all the chumras, the Chazal put into basar b'chalav more than any other isa that you have contained b'chala terakula. The chumris upon chumris upon chumris, the rabbanans and hachakis, it literally is wild. The question is, why did Chazal see the need to make so many chumris when it came to this type of isa more than any other isa in that tera? So the Ran says very beautiful in quotation F on the bottom, a very important yisod. Let's read it inside. U'mashach miru Chazal. So the Ran says, the Masech Tzchulin, what does he say? Because in actuality, we're dealing with glat kosher meat and chalav Yisrael milk. The whole year round, I'm busy eating milchiks, I'm eating fleishik, so I eat this stuff. Shalok Kishar Isurim. It's unlike Nevelos and Treifus and Shkatsim and Ramasim, that by the very definition from the time they come into this world, they're Usar by themselves. And since the Usar, Inshi B'deilu Minahayim. People separate themselves, which means I have no taiva, nor do you, to go and grab a crab to eat at this moment in time. You know, we just, you know, it's interesting. The Rambam says in the Shmoyne Parakim, the proper Ashkaf of a Jew should be, oh, I'm chalishing for a crab, but what could I do that Rabban Hashem was gazed upon me that I should therefore not eat it, you know? So, you know, but the problem is over thousands of years of accumulated memory and separation, when you look at these machalos, you say to yourself, how in the world can these people on the face of this earth eat this stuff? I'm nauseated by it, but that's based upon our orientation. The fact of the matter is, the Rambam says, the proper hashgafa is, I would love to eat it, but what can I do that Rabban Hashem was gazed? What he's mentioning over here is, since there is thousands of years of separation, in Shibidila Manaya, we have no taiva to eat a piece of pork. We have no taiva to eat a piece of crab. Ki basa from the atzam mutter, when it comes to basa b'chalav halo, the basa is mutter, shmaka chalav, the chalav is mutter, shmaka malted, rak b'taruvis shenayim nolad isa chadosh. Only when the Torah is based, when you bring them together, they cause isa chadosh. V'chaticha nasa nevel, as I just mentioned, ma she'en kein b'shar isurim shibetera shenisarvu beheter. So if that's the case, because of this michshol, that we are so accustomed to use this stuff, and we're so close to it, and we're always quite obviously involved with it, Chazal saw the fear of michsholim taking place. I'm eating at a table, mamashim. I'm having a milchik kesuda, and it just so happens that my wife had cooling down at the table some hot meat that's, you know, it's going to be for another meal at another point, and it's on the table. And it's reachable. I can touch it if I wanted to. So Chazal were concerned that in the course of your eating, because many people don't think when they eat anymore. They just, you know, shtup and rein them all. And especially if it's a fleishik substance, which might be no longer even nicking as fleishik. So let's say it was cooked with some other type of stuff, and therefore you don't even see the meat bobbing in front of you. So therefore, you're eating milchiks, and inadvertently, without thinking, I might take the fleishik and eat it. Since it's a meichel that you normally eat when you're eating fleishiks, and now you're eating milchiks, or vice versa, Since there's no orientation or automatic rejection of coming close to this substance, Chazal were fearful that, unfortunately, you might not think what you're doing and grab it and eat it, and therefore eat them b'taruvus. Now, once again, if I eat the b'taruvus being cold, I'm only violating basar b'chalav derabana. But the fear, if you look in the Gemara, Masechta Skulin, was that what you're putting on the table that's waiting there was hot boiling meat that was taken out of the oven and it's cooling down. If I therefore take that now and I mix it with the cold milchiks and it's in a Kli Rishon, it's still Roseach, Kli Rishon is Mavash on a certain level. So therefore the Gemara says, that was the concern, Shema Yovel Oichlo, that's the reason for the Hachachas Chazal made when it came to this. Now, there are other hakakas you have. This is also quite interesting. The Shulchan Aruch brings down, for instance, and this is a big problem because I've seen tremendous insensitivity to what I'm going to mention to you now, especially in big malls that service the kosher public, where you have, in fact, a kosher burger store, and then you have across the street in the same mall a kosher pizza shop. And the tables that they have allotted for the people to customers to eat could be similar tables. This past Sukkot, it happened to be in Eretz Yisrael, and what was interesting over there is my wife and I wanted to bring our Einik Lach, to have a Sukkot to eat out. So we went to a special mall they call it the Haredi Mall. They call it the Shefa Mall. It's a beautiful big mall. And when we came on location, what was interesting is exactly what I just described to you. There was a gigantic, burger store, with Eder Haredes Heksha. And then you had, a couple of stores down in this mall, a gigantic pizza shop with Eder Haredes. And then they had, games for kids to play. They had these jumping toys. Then they had a pretty, pretty geshmaka sukkah. But this geshmaka sukkah was for whoever comes to eat in the mall. So you had people on one table, some eating milchiks, and mamish, next to over here, I'm eating milchiks, eres milchiks. The ganze sukkah betchilas atzayfai was not the biggest sukkah, so people were sitting betzimsum over there, connected each other. So the shela halach lamas arises, can you have two people eating at the same table, milchiks and fleishiks, even though both are kosher? The chazal gozer in that case. And believe it or not, for those who learned the Masechta Schula, the Gemara says, Shnei Anashim Shemakirim Zezeh, if you have two people that recognize each other, and that surely includes a husband and wife, I would think, that surely includes parents and children, that if they're eating at the same table together, they cannot, unless you have certain tanoim, eat milchus and fleishiks for the fear that since it's one family unit, I might want to grab your fleishik or french fry when I'm having a geshmaka piece of my milchika pizza. Or I might grab this or grab that. So Chazal made a gezerah. The gezerah applies to makirim, who are in close proximity. It is true, the halacha brings down that if I'm eating milchiks over here, and my wife is sitting with shama, he's eating fleishiks, unless my hand's going to extend, Chazal, when that goes, we're eating on the same table because my hand can never reach where shama is. But when you're adjacent to each other, what astounded me was, if they were eating one of the heterim on special types of mats, which are miyuchados as a simin, so that's one of the coolest chazal bring down. But I looked at the tables, there weren't any special mats. There weren't any mats that they had. Another cooler you have, which I didn't see them implement, is that if you take an object and you put it between you and the other person eating, and you're not going to, and this is going to be an object that's going to stay there as a heker, and you're not going to eat or drink from it. So that's also allowed by people makirim ze'ezeh. Halach lamasa, technically speaking, that's another cooler, but I didn't see anybody doing that as well. It just amazed me, the biggest amazement is something that also fascinated my mind, is that in America now, it's style to separate the men and the women, by kiddush dance. So you have a table, men are here, women are there, and that's become the style in our community, let alone other communities. In this sukkah, Rabbeisai, there was no havdalah between the nekevis and zecharim. That to me was a bigger kiddush than the bas b'chalav, because you had over here, you had the real Chassidish and Turekata sitting in that sukkah, and nobody had any problem with the men and women sitting at the same table together. Zayin froy, mine froy, and their froy, and that froy. To me, that was maybe even a bigger Chiddush than the Bas Bechal of Halacha. What's your question?
Well, can you comment on the, when you
of what I'm seeing as a new trend of, let's say, an OU restaurant opening in Malacca and taking in the same restaurant. Like what they had, Monk Street Cafe, downtown Manhattan. And then you have Flakeshire Demachans on the same menu, in the same place.
You have that in Israel. You have Cafe Rimon. Cafe, they have separate sections, but it's still coming. It's still coming out from the same restaurant, you know.
They both want to have really this kula of, you know, their tray right next to the Flakeshire's, maybe perhaps.
Yeah.
Their loved one that is sitting right next to them with Flakeshire's love is right next to one of them.
On the same table.
If
they have separate trays, then that's a kula. But you have that. If you have separate trays, Chazal allowed that. I'll tell you what's interesting. You know what's interesting? What's also interesting? What's also interesting is if you read the Gemara carefully, Masech to school, and went many past many people's heads. But if you looked very carefully, the Mishnah stated a big kula between a table that you eat at and a buffet table. Buffet. Says the Gemara says, if you're dealing at a table where you're taking the food from this table to bring it back to your table, a buffet table, and you're not eating at that table, so Chazal, when that goes, it has fleishiks and milchiks at the same exact table, because since you're not eating there, therefore you're a kavanah, you know what you're taking. So if I want fleishiks, I'm not going to put fleishiks and milchiks in the same place because I'm not eating now. So therefore, Chazal, when it goes, it have on the buffet a milchik and fleishik dish next to each other. It's only when you're eating at the table, as mafantun to essen, you forget about everything else in this world. Chazal, where goes there, that you might eat one and the other. But in a buffet table, so I said when I was giving my daf yomi that day, I said it depends upon how you eat at a buffet. Now, in a buffet table, where halach l'masa, you take it down to another table and you eat, so then echanami, the buffet is ein halach. But today, by people buffets, they eat at the buffets if it's your own table. So you're not sitting there, you're eating, you're standing there. So menem dos, and you're eating. So therefore, if that's the case, you've made the buffet. I found another problem, Rabbi Isai. This I saw in the plaza of a Sukkot. Somebody invited me to come graciously to eat there. I saw something interesting in the hot dish section of the thing. And that is, you know, they didn't have milk and fleishiks simultaneously, quite obviously on the same floor at least, you know. But they had fleishiks. And down the line of the hot dishes, they then had one tray that some people recognized was fish, but not everybody was able to discern as fish. It had so much sauce upon it, you know. So you had this meat and this meat, and all of a sudden you had basically a tray of fish that with so much sauce, you don't know whether it was fish or what. So there were some people who were just taking a little bit of everything. You know, there were 10 different dishes, and they wanted to make sure they wouldn't miss one calorie. So they went down the line, and they took from every platter. So they had in they had a mishterein, like a chalent, the fish mit the fleisch, mamish arein gemush zusammen of that. So it just so happens that the editor of Art Scroll happened to be in the hotel at that point in time, and he also, you know, said, where's the mashkiach? Or where's there a sign to indicate to innocent bystanders over here that there's a halachic shayla over here? So I'm saying that there's some things that sometimes people take for granted, and people themselves will know. There's no question in this type of circumstance, the problem of fish and fleish is sakana. It's not a question of isa. So there, chamir sakantim isura, there surely should have been a sign over there. You know, it's not kosher basa v'chala. But in any event, what I'm pointing out to Rabbi Isai is when it comes to going into these halachas, we're going to see, especially next week, as we go deeper and deeper into this topic, that the chumras Chazal created over here are phenomenal. But what is also fascinating is that the barometer of who you are as a Jew, as a Torah Jew, when it comes to Yiddishkeit, ends up being how careful you are when it comes to basa v'chalav. You know, this becomes like the touchstone of your zehiras when it comes to this.